that have gone. There are still some copies of reports that we have written on various aspects of ministry. There are still some. And since you have a financial report this evening, I will say adieu from here. And we will depart shortly after our meeting and leave you with the financial report. That's something I enter into, so I'll leave it with you. 2 Peter chapter 3, we'd like to read the last two verses together. It was 2 years ago that we embarked on a study of 2 Peter, something I hadn't done in this much detail before. And so you are the first connoisseurs of my study in 2 Peter. I hope it was enjoyable and challenging to you. It stretched my mind and my heart and challenged my life as well. So I hope that you can look back, because it was 2 years ago we started at chapter 3 and verse 18, which is where we are this evening. And I made it a point not to look at or review or even examine the study we had 2 years ago on 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. I didn't want you to have old bread. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful to you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world as a baby. And we're reminded that he grew. He grew in stature, he grew in wisdom, he grew before man, before his parents. Though we consider it an enormous responsibility for Mary and for Joseph to bring him up, we thank you that he grew. And we want to examine again this evening this simple verse, which brings to a conclusion Peter's amazing epistle, that we too might grow in grace, in the grace, and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you this evening that none of us have ever attained to the full stature of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that each of us can approach this verse this evening acknowledging our need to grow in various areas and aspects and characteristics of his graces and of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for presenting to us an infinite Christ, a perfect Christ. And we address our mind and our heart this evening to this text, with you as our teacher by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for his being here as you promised. We give you our thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The story is told of a little boy who was not happy with the rate at which he was growing in stature. He complained to his parents and was not happy that God had not given him the progress that he thought he ought to have. It continued for some time until the boy was 6 or 7 years old. And one particular day, his mother could not find him. Looked in the basement, and looked in his room, and couldn't find this little boy. Until in desperation, she went outside and called his name. He answered. And there he was, with his feet firmly planted in the ground, his white tennis shoes covered with dirt, and standing next to a large sunflower plant. And there he stood, holding on to the plant, but firmly planted in the dirt. And his mother said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I want to be as tall as this sunflower." She said, "Go in the house and eat your meals and exercise, and you will grow as much as God intends for you to grow." Some of us find it easier to stand beside the sunflower and say, "This is where I want to be," rather than eating your cereal and your nicely balanced meals and getting a little exercise. Surely Peter remembers the words of the Lord Jesus, "Abide in me and I in you," in John chapter 15. Over and over again, the Lord Jesus reminded the disciples that they were to grow. And one of the keys to growing is the atmosphere in which you find yourself. In Christ is one of those climates, one of those atmospheres in which we find ourselves. One of the favorite metaphors that the Lord Jesus Christ used in his ministry is that of growing. If you look at his lessons, you'll find them filled with seeds and trees and weeds. He spoke of growing as an important part of his ministry. He talked about the care and the caretakers of his plants. So it's natural that Peter would follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus and use this idea of growing. Turn back with me to the first chapter of 2 Peter, and we will read again a portion that we looked at some time ago. Verse 5, chapter 1. "And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Add to your faith, that's the seed. Virtue, that's the trunk. Knowledge, that's the roots, and so forth. Now, we see growth all around us. It's easy for us, and we depend upon that growth. But we often miss the lessons that those plants are meant to teach. I think the Lord intended for us to look at what is around us and remember the lessons that he gave to his disciples and apply those lessons to ourselves. We are growing. If we have trusted Christ as our Savior, and we are growing not just in knowledge, but into Christ-likeness. We're either growing into Christ-likeness because we are following him, or we are growing to be like false teachers because we are following them. At first glance, there seems to be a contradiction in this text. The contradiction is, grow. Maybe some of you do. You don't say that to your plants. You don't go out to your garden and say to that tree, "Grow!" Well, but you say that to your children. Your child does something that is inconsistent with his age, and you say to that child, "Grow up!" What do you mean? You don't mean that that child should eat a double portion of Cheerios, or that he should put his legs and his limbs on some metal weight that would stretch him out. You are telling that child to live up to the physical age that you see in him, and don't act like a child. But Peter is saying, grow. It's a command. And he's telling us that we are to grow. Now, there's a difference between that tree that you fertilize and that you take the weeds out and you encourage it to grow. You create a climate, an atmosphere in which that tree can grow. That's different than you, because you have a will and the tree doesn't. You can choose to take in the nutrients that are necessary for physical and spiritual growth. And because we have a will, therefore we can choose whether or not we're going to grow. Growth is not enlargement. It is rather internal, not external. You can remember, not exactly the words, but when we were children up in the Chicago area, we lived in an area that had a few hills, not too many, and if we had a good snow, we always wanted to make a snowman, and there was this particular place where the hill came down to a road. And given the fact that I have a sense of a humor, I suppose you could call it, it was interesting for us to go if the snow would pack easily. We would go up to the top of the hill and we would start a snowball on its way down. And we knew that if it grew, it would land at the road as a significant piece, a significant snowball. And we would start it. We couldn't keep up with it, but we would push it off the hill. And down it would go. And we were delighted if it grew. And if it did, we would say, it's growing! But it wasn't growing. It was getting bigger. But it wasn't growing. It was an external addition, not an internal addition. I suppose it's sad to say that sometimes we hit our mark. The concept is best expressed perhaps in the idea of, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We cannot plant ourselves in the soil and expect to be as tall as a sunflower. But it does depend somewhat on what we eat. Growth brings change, but change does not bring growth. That's confusing to us. If your waist is 36 and you want it to be 30, you cannot buy a pair of trousers that had a 30-inch waist and expect that that's going to change you. Change does not bring growth. But if you go on a diet and you eat nothing but rice for several months, then that growth or lack of it will bring change. And so Peter is reminding us that growth brings change. And elsewhere reminded that change does not bring growth. Psalm 1 verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. I think this evening we will take not the baby, but the tree as our illustration. And I want to look at three or four things this evening. I'll try to not have you listen so fast as you did last week. The principles then, principles of growth and principles of development, the delight of growing, the principles. There are laws in agriculture. We don't have to be a botanist to realize that there are certain principles and laws that govern growth. We have the same kind of laws that exist in the Christian life. You may come here regularly, but if this is all you do in taking in truth, you probably are not growing. It doesn't make it to grow spiritually with a once-a-week application of spiritual food. You wouldn't be happy with that physically, and we shouldn't be happy with that spiritually. The atmosphere, the climate in which we grow, is very important. Our botanists face huge problems from acid rain, from corrupted soil, and it's the result of those conditions show up in the plants. Let's try to understand. I want to look at several things that relate to these principles that result in our development. There is, first of all, attraction. The tree that we look at that is in our yard has a wonderful process of attraction. And that plant is governed by laws that God has put into that seed. And that plant will search and seize what is necessary for growth. It may involve hundreds of miles of roots, rootlets, and root hairs. And every one of those root hairs has the capacity for attraction. If we're going to grow, we must have that same ingredient to seek the truth, to seek the water of the Word, to seek the light, to seek the warmth in the same way that a tree does. There are many plants that have miles of roots in order that it might search and seize that which is available. Attraction. There is absorption. Every root hair, every rootlet, every root is a tube, a straw, a channel, a pipe, a tunnel. And the purpose of all of those root hairs and rootlets is to take the minerals and the moisture out of the soil and bring it into the plant. We have the same responsibility. God has given us more than roots. You have eyes. You have ears. You have various means by which you are able to take the minerals and the moisture out of the Word of God and soak it up and make it yours. There is attraction. There is absorption. God has given us many wonderful faculties which are just like root hairs. And we lay our hands on them. We touch them. We taste them. We handle them. And they teach us lessons. Our eyes open. Our ears listen. And we grow as we apply what we receive. Through these faculties, there is absorption. Thirdly, in these principles, there is adaptation. The earth is filled with minerals, iron and various other minerals. There is moisture that is there. There are acids. There are chemicals. But these aren't good to the plant in and of itself. There has to be adaptation. And God has created in those roots and those root hairs, as well as the leaves, the capacity to take the minerals out of the soil, to take the acids out of the soil, to take the chemicals and bring them up and make them produce, make it possible for them to be a part of that wonderful diet that is going to produce the fruit that you and I enjoy so much. It is necessary for us. Why are you sitting there? One of your reasons for sitting there is perhaps attraction to the truth. Maybe it is absorption. For some of us who don't apply ourselves, maybe it's osmosis. You say you learned that much in school? Yes, I remember that word. And osmosis was one of the means by which we get truth. If we sit here long enough, we'll absorb something. But then there's adaptation. What is good for you might not be good for you. The truth that you need may not be the truth you need. And there is this idea of adapting what God gives to you tonight for your life tomorrow. Or maybe you tomorrow afternoon and somebody else on Thursday. Maybe years from now, you'll need that mineral. There is a huge manufacturing process in every plant and in every tree. The same thing is true for us. There is attraction where we desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. There is absorption and we soak up as much as possible. And then there is adaptation. I'm not going through what the preacher's going through. My life is different than that. How can it mean anything to me? The Spirit of God, in His grace and by His mercy, takes that mineral, that chemical, that acid that you might find in the Word and say, look, this is what you need. And are we willing to adapt it to our specific need? Why, I'm a flower. I'm not a tree without flowers. I need fragrance. I need to produce fruit. I'm a vine. I'm not a tree like this. And so your life and my life is different. You're different from each other. But we all need attraction. We all have to have the absorption. We need to have adaptation. The Word of God, the knowledge of Christ, contains what we need. Everything necessary for spiritual growth is found in the person and work of Christ. And He is saying to us here, as we'll find in a minute, grace, or the grace and knowledge, two amazing ingredients. Attraction, absorption, adaptation, and accumulation. You like carrots. A carrot is one of the great plants of God that accumulates. It has that huge taproot. And that taproot is a means of accumulation. We think of the huge roots that are underneath the ground. One of the purposes of those roots is accumulation. It's storage. And there is amazing capacity that God has put into these huge trees for storage. How's your storage program? You adapt that truth to your life, but then you have to store it because you may not be facing that problem right now, and you have to store it for tomorrow. You might have to store it when you yourself go through that trial. God may bring that problem into your life years from now, and you need to store that truth so that when those difficult days come, when you pass through the desert, when you go through the valley, you say, I stored that truth for today. And you reach out into that huge storage place, that mind, that memory, that memorization, and you draw out of that treasure things old and things new. It is an amazing process. And the carrot and the potato and the beets and the turnips and all of the other things that have this huge root system remind us of the need for accumulation. You accumulate other things. If I go to your house, I will open your freezer and you've accumulated for your body. I look in the library and there are books you've accumulated for your mind. But we need to accumulate for the spiritual growth that is so important to us. Our mind, our memory, your eyes. Can you remember reading a portion of Scripture and you remember? You remember what it says, but you remember it's on the left-hand page, three-quarters of the way up. You don't want to trade in your old Bible because you know where it is. And it's your eyes, your ears, you hear it. And you hear it again. I remember that. It's part of that accumulation process that makes it possible for us to grow. And then there is, fifthly, what I've called annexation. A tree must make the resources permanently a part of the tree. There is that accumulation. But there is also the process of annexing those minerals and those chemicals and those acids so that they become actually a part of the tree. And from the root hair to the top leaf, God has created in that plant a wonderful manufacturing process that takes the salts and the sugars and the various other things and makes them mix together so that the tree is green when it's supposed to be green. And it has lovely red flowers. And the fragrance comes out like a rose. And various other parts that make that tree what it is, annexation. We need to do the same thing spiritually. Very little of what a tree takes in is divested, except the fruit. Almost everything that a tree takes in, it holds on to. Oh, it gives off some leaves here occasionally and maybe a flower, but it holds on to it. Annexation. A believer grows as they make truth practical and personal in their life. As we travel around the world, we have seen bonsai trees. You know, the bonsai is that little tree that's about this high. A little dish that has been planted on a rock. And with art over the course of sometimes hundreds of years, they have this little plant that's this high. I think it's rather sad to look at those bonsai plants. All the efforts, all the energies of that tree that wants to be a normal size is restricted. Little buds taken off here and leaves taken off there and wires twisted around its bark and around its trunk and it can't grow. It can't grow. And there are many who are like that. They have all the resources to be a huge oak tree, spreading its branches over hundreds of feet with thousands of miles of roots. And they're a bonsai tree. It's sad. Has all the capacities of attraction, absorption, adaptation, accumulation, and annexation, but is only this big. There are believers like that. And it's a sad picture that all of those efforts to be normal have been restricted and have been rejected. Not only are there principles, but there are the properties. Peter says in chapter 1 that there are seven things you are to add to your faith, virtue, do virtue, knowledge, and so forth. In this particular text, he only gives us two. He gives us grace and knowledge. It's actually the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we continue our metaphor as we have this evening, may I suggest to you that one of these is a growth upward and the other is a growth downward. It's necessary to go both ways. Even the metaphor or the picture the Lord Jesus drew for the parable of the sower reminded us that it's as important to grow down as it is to grow up. And if you don't grow down far enough, you won't be able to grow up. And so I'd like to suggest to you that the grace is growing up and the knowledge is growing down. Now, he's not talking about grace growing. Grace cannot grow because grace is infinite. We are to grow in the grace. And I think we again can remind ourselves that the Lord Jesus Christ is the dispenser of all grace. All grace is found in him. And we assume that grace means unmerited favor, the capacity and ability to be what God wants us to be is found in his grace. Grace is the climate. It is the atmosphere within which we are to live and grow and develop and mature. There are dozens of verses that remind us that this grace is from Christ. It's His gift to us. There are verses that remind us that the grace is of Christ and that the grace is in Christ over and over again. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive all the grace that God has to give. You don't need more grace, but we need to grow in the grace that He has given to us. In John chapter 1, verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And verse 16 of the same chapter, of His fullness have we all, how many? We have all received, and grace upon grace, or grace in exchange for grace. You don't need more grace. We need to enjoy and appreciate and appropriate that grace. Grace is ours in salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is ours for sanctification. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may what? Abound to every good work. Grace is that climate, that atmosphere, like abide in me, abide in my grace. And as we draw upon that, as we draw on the moisture and the minerals, the chemicals, and all that's found in Christ, we're not growing grace, we are growing in grace. We are learning to appropriate and to absorb. It's like being put into the sea. You make your way during the summer down to the beach, and you jump in the sea. You jump in the ocean. The whole of the ocean is available to you. You can take it all with you if you like. It's free. But you only take a mouthful or two as one wave hits you over the head. You take the canoe. The canoe appropriates about 16 or 20 feet of the sea. But the ocean liner, the oil tanker, he appropriates 1,000 feet of that same sea. The same is true with us. You may have your little canoe that you're paddling and you're growing in grace. You've got 16 feet that you're appropriating. But God wants us to be like the oil tanker and to appreciate and to utilize. God provides, we utilize. And He has made all available to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, His divine power has given to us all things, all grace, all things that pertain to life and godliness. You don't need more grace. Any more than when you go down to the shore, you don't need more ocean. Just jump in and enjoy it. Participate in as much as you want. Drink deeply if that's what you're drinking. And so it is with Christ. We don't need more of Christ. He's given us all that is found in Himself. Our responsibility is appropriation. The result of these principles then is development. It's a growth in the graces, if I may pluralize it, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only grace, but also knowledge. The knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It doesn't say knowledge of the Bible. People say, well, you need to know the Bible. That's true. He doesn't say that we are to grow in our knowledge of the Bible. But I can tell you that if you're going to grow in the knowledge of Christ, you have to grow in your knowledge of the Word of God. You cannot grow in Christ, in the knowledge of Christ, without growing in your knowledge of the Word of God. It is the primary source by which we understand and learn to appreciate all that is found in Jesus Christ. Grace the upward movement, the growth into the graces of Christ. Christ-likeness, knowledge, that root that goes down in search of the moisture and the minerals that will make it strong and make it useful. Now, the growth in knowledge is the source, is the storehouse from which you will grow in the graces. Knowledge of His preexistence, knowledge of His incarnation, knowledge of His ministry, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, His coming again. You will want to study Matthew and his lordly ways. You will want to study Mark for his lowly works. You will want to study Luke for his lovely walk. You will want to study John for his lofty words. You will grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The present indwelling Christ is the source by which the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to my life, and I grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge is found in this book, and we must apply our heart to knowledge. Do you know Him? Do you know His meekness? Do you know His gentleness? Do you know His courage, His boldness, His love, His long-suffering? Know Him. It is crucial to growth. Thirdly, then, there are the practices. Practices, what is it that determines what happens as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? You are what you eat, say dietitians. I can remember a friend of mine who got on a kick of eating carrots. Not carrots, but carrot juice. And he would buy bags, 50 pounds of carrots at a time, put them through the juicer and drink down glass after glass of carrots. He changed color. He began his skin to show up an orange hue to it. This was the health kick. You are what you eat, and it's true spiritually. Four things, four practices that are necessary. First of all, aspiration. There has to be a desire to grow. I like that little boy who planted himself in the garden, covered up his shoes, grabbed a hold of that. I want to grow. I like that. Do we have that same aspiration to grow in Christ? Do we really want to grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ? All the resources are there. It is the devotion of my energy and my time and my effort so that I grow up. If you do not aspire, said someone, you will expire. Aspiration, a desire to seek the knowledge more than gold, yea, more than fine gold. Not only aspiration, but affirmation. Affirmation means to say, I agree with God. I am convinced that one of the important issues of spiritual growth is to affirm the truth of God. It is so easy for us to deny the truth, to say, I can't, I won't, it's not possible, this is not part of my life, rather than saying, I can, I will. I will grow up in the virtues of Christ. I will grow up in the graces of Christ. And as we affirm the truth, it will change our thinking. It will change our life. It's like a dream. I'm not talking about a nightmare. You dream of great things. And as you affirm those dreams, guided by the Holy Spirit, it will change your life. Does our heart desire to grow? Aspiration, affirmation, thirdly, appropriation. What does the plant do? It takes the minerals and turns it into a beautiful fragrance. It takes the acids and turns it into thorns or even thistles or even weeds. We are to be rooted and grounded in Christ. And every aspect of our nature and every part of our facilities and our capacities are to absorb that truth. And what we do is appropriate and say, that's for me. I need that right now. And I draw upon that resource. The task is great, this appropriation. The opportunities are manifold. The possibilities are huge. The results are glorious. Appropriating what God says is true. And then there is fourthly, administration. It's a lifelong task. We would like to plant the seed today and have fruit tomorrow. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. It takes years for plants to produce fruit. It means that this administration of the minerals and the capacities and abilities, the administration of light and warmth and moisture, all comes together. That means daily care as a plant. It means to repair places where we've been injured. It means correction. It means direction. And we do that through communion, through meditation, through memorization, through activity. You don't see that. You don't even see it when you look in the mirror. But it's taking place because there is an administration that takes place. Finally, there is the product. Just three things. What's the product? Well, it's dissemination, obviously. The evidence of life is growth. If it looks like the tree is dead, the botanist takes his knife out and he cuts one little branch or one little twig. Is it green? If it's green, there's life. The evidence of life is growth. The evidence of light is color. The evidence of luxury is fruit. God wants in your life and my life the evidence of life, the evidence of light, and the evidence of luxury. It takes three things. There is amplification. It doesn't have to do with your age. Some grow more in a year spiritually than others would grow in 10 years. It's not your feelings. It's not your activity. It is Christ-likeness, amplification. Add faith, add to your faith virtue. Not only amplification, but multiplication. Way back in Genesis, it says, whose seed is in itself. God created the capacity for multiplication. You can test growth. You can measure. You can picture. But growth is reproducing seed. Same color, same size, same flavor, same capacity, same ability, same life. And there is then glorification. Who gets glorified? Well, God gets glorified. If you grow up into the fullness of the stature of Christ because you have that absorption and you have that administration and you have that amplification, who is glorified? You? Not so. To Him, to Christ, be the glory. To Him be glory, both now in this life and the life that is to come. From this life on into eternity. That's the goal. So yes, it's a command, grow. But it's a command because you have a will and the tree doesn't. And all that's necessary for Christ-likeness has been given to us in the same way that in that little seed is all the capacity, all the ability, all the ingredients necessary for that seed to produce one exactly the same size and exactly the same color. You have that opportunity, and so do I. And that's one of the great lessons of the book of 2 Peter, which ends with the word. Father, we're thankful to you again this evening that you in your grace and in your mercy have given to us the ingredients necessary for growth. We look at ourselves in the mirror of your word and we realize we have not grown as we should. And surely Peter must have looked at the same thing and found himself wanting. We commit ourselves again to you this evening, the beginning of this new week with fresh opportunities and responsibilities and privileges. We do this. We commend ourselves to your word, to the word of your grace, which is able to build us up among those who are being sanctified through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen.